Ayo, what it do, what it does, what it did. This is Behind the Boards Conversation, and I am Old Man Kola, and right here with me, we have DJ Extraordinaire, restaurant owner now, right?
Yeah.
Podcast host, and man, you'll just hear what else he does. This is Banks. How are you, brother?
I'm all good, and yourself?
Ugh, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing, man. So yeah, man, like, let's just jump right into it. Tell me, when did this all start for you, like, in terms of DJing and stuff?
DJing? Oh, shit. Oh, can I curse on this? Can I curse on this show?
Yeah, 100%. Cool.
Yeah, I started back in 2005. Yeah, 2005. Yeah, I'm old.
Nah.
I'm old.
Oh, 05.
Yeah.
How old were you at the time?
I just started high school.
Damn.
I'm 30. Nah. So, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm 30. Yeah, so, 05... Five with my friends, we started like a DJ crew.
Yeah.
And then
what was it called?
It was called 360.
Oh yeah.
So started DJ crew, and then the old were playing house.
I was
the only guy that played hip hop because my background, my older brother introduced me to hip hop.
So
I naturally started playing hip hop out of the whole crew.
Yeah.
And then as years went by, they started falling apart to go into other careers. You know, one is an engineer. One is a movie director. The other two have passed on.
Oh, damn.
So I stayed on entertainment and just kept pushing the DJing throughout.
Oh yeah.
So I can comfortably say my first proper gig when I became professional was 2007, 2008.
Yeah,
2007, 2008.
Like grade 10, grade 11.
Yeah.
And
like
even
11.
Then, you're still pretty young.
Yeah, I was really young. Like, I was getting booked in clubs when I was like 17,
shit.
Bro. Yeah.
Oh, shit. That must have been crazy.
Yeah, so like my first proper club gig was Capello's in Hatfield.
Oh, yeah. Still at Capello's.
Yeah, and then Zanzu, the original Zanzu before Zanzu. Yeah, so I used
to play.
I used to play there a lot, yeah.
Oh, shit. No, but that's dope. That means roughly, yo. Hey man, you've got years in this. Bro.
Yeah,
that's almost 20 years.
Yeah, 10,000 hours. Yeah,
10,000 hours for
real.
Yeah, 10,000 hours for real. And then, like, what? Actually, before we even get into that, I wanted to know of what ethnicity are you? Like, where are you from?
Originally, I'm Congolese.
You're Congolese.
Yeah, so I was born in DRC, and then we moved to SA. I actually came to SA on holiday. I wasn't supposed to stay here. So my younger brother was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh,
so he came here for treatment, and then we used to come visit.
Yeah.
So the one trip we came to visit, and we just never went back home.
You just never went
back
home.
Yeah, my dad just like, things are better this side, so
yeah.
We end up staying and schooling here. But yeah, I'm Congolese though.
Yeah, dope. That's dope, man. And yo, that's actually something I didn't expect.
Yeah.
Okay, and then in terms of like your DJing,
how would
you say that influences that? Like where you're from and like all these things.
It really doesn't, because like I mean, the stuff we listen to back home is not really
all that different.
Yeah, it's different, totally different from here.
Yeah,
and also, I don't know. I mean, I know of one successful DJ, but he also passed on a year ago. So, but like DJing in general just doesn't align with my background, where I come from, and stuff like that. And my background, my entertainment was never part of.
Yeah. The plan. What was like, the plan?
I was supposed to be an accountant.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I started accounting.
You studied accounting?
Yeah,
you
UJ. No, I dropped out.
You dropped out?
Yeah, I couldn't keep paying for my own school fees and DJing.
So
but I come from a very strict family.
Yeah.
My dads were very strict. So school was the only thing. Entertainment was far from something.
So I'm guessing when you hopped onto the DJ thing.
He still hated it.
Still hated now?
Yeah. Still hated it. But there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
So you just had to accept, you know. It is what it is. But yeah, my parents hated it. Anything to do with entertainment, they hated it.
They hated that shit. And now that you've actually mentioned the fact that you studied in UJ, right?
Yeah.
What that's got me thinking is why didn't you establish yourself that side?
What's crazy is initially that was a plan, because we all know Joburg is where the market is. So I specifically chose to go to UJ over any other university because I wanted to be based in Joburg.
Oh yeah.
And then my one of the guys is to look up to, I forgot the guy's name, he disappeared though, I don't know where he is. He was also a DJ, and he told me that is go home, establish yourself from home, make a name for yourself.
Yeah.
And then from there you'll be able to attract everyone else. But coming here, not really a good idea.
Yeah.
But go home, establish everything you want to do, build your brand from there, and from there you'll be able to expand. And that's what I did. So after UJ, after I dropped out, I moved back to Pretoria.
Yeah.
Tried going to UNISA. School wasn't my thing. I learned what I needed to learn.
And then
it kept pushing Pretoria to where we are today.
Yeah, man, and it's a pretty dope place. And
yeah, yeah.
Another thing I like to highlight is the fact that, like, you guys, man, your generation of DJs, especially you and Venom, right? I feel like you guys managed to break through quite better than, like, people that came before and
yeah,
the niggas that are currently doing it.
Yeah,
now.
crazy fact. Venom was actually my groupie.
What?
Yeah, Venom was grouped as a DJ.
Really?
Yeah, so Venom was, because he's Zambian, right?
Yeah.
Venom used to fly in for school holidays.
Yeah.
And then he used to fly in and go watch me play. Like, I'll be DJing. He didn't know us also were the same age.
Oh, yeah.
So he'd fly in, sneak into the club, and sit by the DJ booth and watch me play.
And watch you play.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Crazy.
So you were like a phenom because you were young and stuff.
Yeah, so I was, like, for the longest time, I was the youngest DJ, like, around anyway, you know? So Venom used to fly in school holidays and you would go to Zanzu and sit there and watch me DJ. So yeah, going back to your question.
Yeah.
What's the question again?
No, my thing is, like, with regards to, like, how you guys broke.
Oh, how we broke in. I think the older guys, the one thing they didn't do was give us platform.
Oh yeah.
So they were gatekeeping.
They were gatekeeping.
But now, while they were gatekeeping, they were not networking enough to expand.
Oh.
So they were literally just gatekeeping Lil Osip Pretoria just by itself.
So we
figured that the only way to break out the system is by networking. So we'll go to Joburg. Like, I spent my early 20s traveling South Africa just gigging for free.
Shit.
Yeah, I've been to Grahamstown, been to Durban, been to Pietermaritzburg, been to Cape Town. And all of that, I did that because in the longer run, I was building a powerful network system.
So
at any given time, I can pick up a phone call and call anyone around the country and be able to get a gig or whatever.
Shit.
But I spent all those years building network, and that's what all the guys before us failed to do.
I think that's
why things worked out much easier, because, I mean, guys would be like, how are you getting booked in Cape Town? Yeah, but because I spent 2 years going to Cape Town playing for free, you know, booking my own accommodation, establishing myself. So by the time I was given the opportunity to showcase my skills, I had already the network. All I had to do now is just show up and deliver, and then from there things will play for themselves. So I think networking was the one thing that shifted us from the guys before us.
When it comes to the guys after you, would you say they're too complacent about the, like,
I don't
want things handed to them?
It's tricky because I mean at a certain point in our lives we're all young, we're all doing things differently. So with them, I wouldn't say they want things to be handed to them. Things are just different for them the way it was for us, we had to go out and actually DJ for you to hear that I'm a good DJ. And with the kids now, all they have to just record a video of them DJing and putting on
social media,
you know. So
up.
Yeah, so he doesn't have to physically go to clubs, ask for gigs. I mean, he can still do it, but in their area, they can just put up a video and club owners will see that and be able to book them for that. So when people say they want things to hand it out to them, I wouldn't really agree to that.
Yeah.
But their marketing strategy is different from what it was for you. Yeah,
guys.
You know,
this thing's dynamic. It
has
to change.
Yeah.
It has to change. And then when it comes to, let me say, being a South African hip hop DJ, right?
Yeah.
I always see on the TL and just in person, hear DJs complain about the fact that it's hard to break out new songs or try to progress with sound. That's why they constantly play, like, old sets and stuff. Do you feel the same?
It's debatable because as a good DJ, right?
Yeah.
A good DJ, you play what everyone wants to hear. A great DJ breaks records, right?
Oh, yeah.
So what people struggle is to find the balance between a good DJ and a great DJ, you know? And with hip hop, is people like playing new songs in the club, it's a handful of people that will know about it.
People are
actually into the culture. And those who aren't part of the culture only want to hear things that they're exposed to commercially. So things they see on TV, on TikTok and what, you know, that's how they know songs. But if not part of the culture, part of the ecosystem, you won't know that necessary job to join unless you see it on
TV
or Instagram or using a TikTok, you know. So that's what I'm saying, just trying to find a balance between a good DJ and a great DJ. Still be able to break sound, you know, still be able to drop new music. Yeah. At the same time, also people go to clubs to have a good time. You know, so do not deprive them the thinging. The fun in hearing songs that they love, whether it's an old song, you know. That's what I'm saying, it's all about finding balance. You know, guys want to go to club and sing along to things they know and stuff like that, you know. It's only like a really handful of people that will tell you, I heard this song in the club and, you know, I had to Shazam. It only works, I mean, with Amapiano, because that the culture is all about playing stuff no one knows. You know, that's so that's why it works for them. But with hip hop, it's totally different.
It's the opposite. It's the opposite. Because niggas want to sing back.
Niggas want to sing back. Niggas want to dance with their hands, dog. Hands want to twerk and shit. So, you know?
Man. And then, like, now that you've touched on Amapiano, like, you come from a city that's predominantly Amapiano. That's Amapiano driven. Have you ever been like have you ever wanted to dip in it?
I love that genre of music. I love it. Everyone knows I love it. I was played, but like, just like, you know someone said this to me years ago. He said that just because you love something doesn't mean you have to be
in it.
You can be part of it. You know, you can be, you know, if you love hip hop, just because you can't rap doesn't mean you can't be a manager of a rapper. You can't create a podcast that promotes rappers. Music, you know. So same thing with Amapiano. I don't have to produce or thingy, but I can be part of the system. But I'll never switch.
Is that kind of what you're doing with Banks and Friends?
Banks and Friends. You know, tell the truth why I started Banks and Friends. So we used to get bored on Thursdays.
Yeah.
A lot. So like myself, Foka, Venom, Durban Gogo, what. Mm. So gigging on Thursday wasn't really booming back then. So at that time I just left TSC. So I told them like, yo man, we won't just go to TSC every Thursday and just chill and vibe and stuff. And that's what Banks and Friends started about. And then from there I was able to expand it and turn it into like a culture thing. Where guys pull up, you know. It literally became like a, I don't know how big it was until people tell me about it. I just still get shocked, because for me it was just like us friends chilling. I'm like, oh dude, let us do Thursdays, and I just started doing Thursday. But I didn't really think we'd get that big, you know. But
oh man, that's dope, because I really thought you were just trying to start a whole marketing thing.
Promotion
type
organic. Yeah, it's just organic. Like, we're not gigging a lot on Thursday, and I just started it so me and my friends can play and drink and stuff.
I know, but that's dope. That's also a really dope way to like break through artists and stuff.
I saw
with your most recent one, I think you did at Zen Zoo, you had the likes of Lash.
So like with mentioned to what happened to us years ago when we were coming up, guys before us never to give us platform. So with what I'm trying to do now, even though I have my own venue, I want the young guys to be able to rock, you know. You can't always have the same people, so give the kids a chance, you know. So even with this one I did at Zen Zoo, there's a bit of a politics and stuff, so I have to change the name. So I'm starting a thing called The Jungle once a month. That one's, the whole event is literally just focused on all the young guys.
It's their
baby. Yes, I'm putting the whole thing together, but it's their baby. They push, they do everything.
That's dope. That's dope, man. That's dope. And then, like, speaking about being a part of it and, like, basically playing a role in it, but not necessarily being it. I wanted to talk to you about, like, I see Venom and Shishiliza now. They're coming up with a compilation. Are you looking to go in that direction anytime soon?
No, really, man. Like, I'm too much of a businessman. I love money. I'm too much of a business. So making music in general has never really been my thing. You know, I appreciate the whole process, but like, me being part of it and making music has never really been my thing. So I don't think I'll do it. I mean, I got a few records just chilling.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, with Tyler ICU.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like, this gang rec is chilling. So I don't know, one day when I get bored I'll maybe drop music, but like not, I'm not really deep into like that. I'll never drop an EP, album, anything like that. But I do have joints with Tyler and Junior Torres and stuff, so yeah.
That's actually really crazy. Yeah, the people you just mentioned on hip hop.
Yeah, so they're actually, yo, it's crazy, yeah. So yeah. So Junior Torres, we've two joined together. Damn. And then me and Tyler, I think we're about 6 or 7.
Shit.
Just chilling. Just chilling, yeah.
Just drop it, bro.
So maybe if I feel like drop, I'll just drop it, but yeah. Yeah.
And then, now let's talk about the whole YFM thing. Because yeah. I mean, you in the podcast space as well.
Yeah.
How did
yeah.
that come about? Like,
oh, it came about, we, during lockdown, we're doing this yeah. thing called Lockdown Radio, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, so fast forward, we felt, so what happened is we figured, you know, man, look, let's see how far we can take this thing.
Yeah.
Let's see how far we can take this thing. And then we'll call up a homie of mine, networking again.
Exactly.
Power of networking. Call up a homie of mine, and then he called the boss of YFM straight.
Whoa.
Yeah. So we spoke, I'll just mention the name. I called Sibu.
Oh, yeah.
Sibu Mabena. So I said, yo, yeah, I said, Sibu, this is what we want to do, this is what we want to do. And then Sibu's like, because it's youth, you know, it's youth based and all of that, try YFM. And then, yeah, it was one phone call. And then the next day, we're having a Zoom meeting with the boss.
Damn.
Yeah, and then a month or so later, yeah, we got approved.
You got approved.
Yeah, and then, yeah, 2-3 months later, then we started shooting.
Shit.
Power of networking.
Nah, man. Network.
Yeah,
network kids,
networking guys.
Network. No,
yeah, so yeah, so that's how it came about. And but we put the whole thing together, man. We
everything.
We, yeah,
production,
we hands on
everything.
Everything. The only thing YFM brings is just the production guys.
Yeah.
But we put everything from guests,
like the guests
and
everything.
We do everything. Yeah.
And you guys had some healthy guests on there.
Yeah. Too. Again, power of networking.
Power of networking.
We just made a few phone calls and invited our friends to come through, and yeah, man. Like I always think. I don't have a big hit. Let me say.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew we were gonna do well,
yeah,
but
yeah,
not
yeah.
that well.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like it just blew my mind. Like, oh, okay. You know, sure. I think we're sitting on like 2.5 million views on all 8 episodes combined. Yeah,
in total.
Yeah,
shit,
I think
so
we
definitely come.
Yeah,
back
with
for
the,
a
yeah
season.
With the second biggest podcast in numbers after MacG.
Oh,
yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
Shit.
Yeah, nah, and we only have 8 episodes.
And you only have 8.
Yeah,
episodes.
Only have 8 episodes. Yeah.
Oh, so that's you're talking about total views.
Total, yeah. So
second to MacG.
Yeah, yo. So. Because I think Max drops every week or
yeah,
every
yeah,
day
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah,
so he's, yeah, so he's got the biggest.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyone after Max G has to be us.
Shit.
We're just 8 episodes. I think we're over 2 million already.
Nah, man, that's... Damn.
Yeah,
that's really impressive.
That's crazy, yeah. And also, we are the only one with the last interview Mpura did.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We're the only one, yeah.
Oh, man, and... I mean, now that you've mentioned it, like, once you heard about his passing,
yo, it was crazy, man. I woke up, yo, I was at home. Yo, this thing, oh, guys, it's crazy. I woke up and then in the group, like, everyone was just like, crazy is the night, 2 nights before, can't remember, 2-3 nights before, was it the night, I think the night before, the manager Forbes was with us.
Yeah.
He's always with Mpura.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
We're at, I think that those parties called Ethiopia, I think. Ethiopia.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we even, I remember even asking, because we're chilling outside drinking, like, where's Mpura? Oh, is that a gig?
Oh, yeah.
Kanti,
yeah.
That time you already crashed on.
He's already crashed?
Yes, yeah, so we didn't know. Yeah, so the whole time we're grooving, we go home, we sleep. So I wake up, dog, and Tuli calls me, it's like, yo, man, Mpura, and then you passed on and stuff. So I'm like, how? But we're with Forbes just like the night before.
Yeah.
You know, and he ended up, he was supposed to go. So their bus, the bus, from the story I've heard, the bus that was supposed to go within the trip
yeah.
had an issue, had to fix it. So they gave them a car, a rental car,
oh,
to drive there.
Damn, so they weren't even supposed to drive to begin.
Yeah, to drive that car.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hard, man. It was really hard because I mean, like, it was always left the party, man. When you walk into a space, everyone knows Mpurez and stuff, you know. Yeah. So it was really hard.
And he was really on the come up, man.
Yeah, man. He was a do big things, bro. Like him and Foka had an EP together.
A whole EP.
Yeah, dog. Yo. And every time he plays those songs, it's tricky. Like, it seems like the guy's gone, man. Bro.
Damn, yeah. Man, that's some hard shit.
Yeah, it was crazy, man.
R.I.P. Mpura.
Yeah.
And yeah, now that you mentioned Foka, like, your relationship with Foka, of course, dates back.
Yeah.
And how is it now? Like, how are you guys now? I mean,
yeah, all my friends are cool, man. Like,
all your friends are successful as shit.
Yeah, like, it's weird. All these niggas like superstars and shit. Yeah. Like, you know. But like, I think one thing we respect about our friendship is we understand where each person is in life. You know, we don't have to see each other every day. I mean, we're all in the same group, but we don't have to talk every day and stuff like that. But whenever you want to speak to someone, you can just video call them, you know,
and be like, hey,
what's up? You good? Check up on each other. But yeah, man, like, our relationship with everyone is still the same, you know. We're still supportive. We're still pushing. And, you know, the pressure's there because, I mean, whatever you do, you have to be good at it.
We don't
allow mediocre work. So you have to give the best of the best, you know.
Oh, yeah, bro, that's dope. I think that's something people should instill in all their friendships, man.
Yeah, always strive for the best, man.
Yeah, man. And let's talk about Cotton Fest,
right? Yeah,
you played at Cotton Fest.
Yeah,
was it your first time playing?
No, I've been playing since inception.
Since its inception.
Yeah.
So what was different with this one compared to all the other years?
Because Ricky was in there pulling up to all the stages and hugging people, man.
That's what he used to
do. Yeah, like, I think he used to walk around, like, I think sometimes he forgets his Ricky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, he was just walking around the Cotton Fest by himself. No security, nothing. Just walking around, taking pictures, laughing, chatting, you know. He randomly just pull up on stage and give you a hug and vibe with you and walk away and go to the next. You know, it's so different. Hey, man, because Ricky wasn't there just walking around hugging people and taking pictures and snaps and chatting, so you can feel something was missing.
But was it still special?
Very, very special, man. Yeah. Like, guys made sure that we still felt Ricky's spirit.
Yeah.
You know, throughout from every single stages, from the main stage to the hip hop and the house stage and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, because they had a house stage this year, right?
Yeah, they always do. Yeah.
Because I've never been.
Yeah, because you don't. Which you've been to Cotton Fest, right?
No. You've never been.
Yeah, they always have a house stage. It shakes there also. Yeah.
It always shakes.
Yeah, but obviously this year now it's Amapiano.
Oh stuff, yeah,
so,
it's,
yeah.
It's not direct house.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's get into to your business stuff, right? As far as I know, like, you're the owner, a part owner of Barco.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
So I've always wanted to open my own shop, my own venue, and just before COVID, I was looking for space, and then COVID hit, obviously, and then that was on hold, and then I found a space just after COVID, which was ratchet, actually.
Found the
space, and I was ready to go, and then politics, you know, gangsters and stuff.
So
it got tricky, so I had to put that on pause.
Yeah,
so my friends, my partners at Barcode,
they were
initially opening their Barcode without me.
Without
me. And then they approached me a couple of times, like, yo man, we have a space, would love for you to buy into, you know. It took me like 3 months to make my decision. Yeah, like,
you weren't feeling it like that.
Yeah, like, it needs to feel right. And that moment didn't feel right in that time, you know. So eventually I made up my mind, like, you know what, yeah, I'll buy shares, and then we'll run it together and stuff. Yeah. So that's literally what happened.
That's how it happened.
Yeah.
I remember, that's dope. So are you still looking to open your own spot?
That is my spot, but I can't be giving out plans. So I can't even say anything. But yeah, for now that's running. And for Barco specifically, I want to franchise it eventually.
Oh yeah.
So I want to turn into a franchise, you know. And yeah, that's the vision I have for Barco.
Yeah. Okay, and then outside of like venues and spaces like that, what else are you dabbling into in terms of business?
I'm trying to go into agriculture, man.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, like
when you say agriculture, do you mean agriculture or like agriculture?
No, agriculture, like I'm trying like on like a I'm trying to get land.
Yeah.
So what I wanna do is I wanna get land that I can rent to a farmer. So I don't have to do the work.
Yeah.
So I'm still looking. Hopefully I can find a good land and I can rent it to a farmer, then he can pay me rent for farming and doing that.
Yeah.
And then hopefully one day I might also get into farming, get cows and whatever. Just those things take long. So
yeah,
if I do it, I'll probably be doing it for my kids and stuff. But yeah, for now, I just want to buy land and then rent it to a farmer, hopefully learn the business through him. And as years go by, I'll probably own my own farm and stuff. So that's what I'm busy with right now.
That's dope, man. Yeah. That's dope. And that's a really dope thing to look into.
Yeah.
Especially in South Africa.
Yeah, I mean, you have to expand. COVID, if anything COVID taught us is as much as you can make money from alcohol,
hey.
Can be tricky, man.
The government can decide.
Can just decide. It's tricky, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, man. And then with regards to building platforms for like up and coming artists, I mean, you already mentioned Banks and Friends. Would you look into like doing something like festivals and such?
Not really.
Never there.
Yeah, I mean, not really.
Yeah,
not really. So for me right now, I'm in a phase in my life where hosting parties, events, I'm out that
You're
phase
over.
Now. Yeah, I'm out that phase now. So Barcode is the platform.
Yeah, you know.
So that's why it's easier to have young guys running the lineups and stuff, because those are his peers, you know.
So he
knows who are the hardest guys. He relates to them. So, you know, that's what Liz does Mondays.
Yeah.
Day by Barcode. Moose does lineups on weekends. We can get more guys to do other days a week. So in that way, they can use Barcode as a platform for them to expand and grow as DJs and stuff, you know. So eventually, when I open other venues, that will all still be the same formula and stuff, you know. So yeah,
exact same formula. Yeah. And starting a family?
Do you see
it in the near future?
Definitely not getting married. That's not my thing. Never getting married.
Why?
It's not my thing, man. You just have to know yourself as a person. I'm never getting married. I'm gonna cheat on my wife, so I don't need that stress. So I don't wanna put anyone through that. So I'm definitely not getting married. Life partner, I don't know. But definitely gonna have kids.
And then something I've kind of gathered from this conversation.
Yeah.
You seem like a very focused person when it comes to the shit you need to focus.
Yeah.
On. And where do you think that comes from? Is it like instilled from your parents, or is it because you had to like start working at a young age and stuff, or you chose to start working?
I mean, parents. Not too sure about my dad, because I left. Well, yeah. My dad works back home.
Oh yeah.
So I really so. My experience with mom was much younger, so I didn't really learn much. My mom works hard because, I mean, a girl, she raised us.
Yeah.
But, like, with the kind of person I am, I think it's a mixture of a lot of things, including my background, obviously, and then the things I want out of life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just understanding that work needs to be done. You know, we can play after, but work needs to be done. And
you need
utmost focus to accomplish the best of whatever you want to do. And you know, and especially if you really want something, there'll always be a distraction.
Oh,
you know, and I try avoiding all distraction at any cost. So that's what I'm always so focused at what I need to do. Let me do it and get it done. Get the job done, you know.
Are there any things like you particularly do, like any practices that you have to like ensure that you stay focused?
My working schedule is actually crazy.
Oh yeah.
But don't take this advice.
Yeah.
I work when I want to. Yeah. So in that way, when I decide to work, my full attention's on it. Yeah, don't tell me what to do, when to work. I work when I want to. But with that being said, I make time for span, you know. But I'll get the job done. You know, like also, yeah, just you know, if you don't feel like doing something, don't do it, then rest. Because you're not giving your full potential, your full focus on you. It should never feel forced. It needs to be organic. So if today I woke up and I felt like I can't do this interview, I was gonna say I can't do this interview and just carry on sleeping and resting, you know? But I woke up, I'm like, okay, I have shit to do today and stuff I made time for, and you do that. But don't take my advice, but always do things when you want to do it.
When you actually want to do them.
Yeah.
Do the things you actually want to do.
Yeah,
man. And something I realized is that, like, you're probably the first person we've interviewed that got here before us.
Really?
I was shocked. Yeah, I was shocked.
Like, you have to. I don't know, like, you have to. I mean, it's you have to respect people's time and work. You know, it's like I can't book DJs and they're not showing up. That means they don't respect me and the business. So I told you guys I'll be able to do this interview, and I got you in time. Well, a bit way early, but I got you in time. And yeah, it's just respect, man. Respect people's time and people's craft, you know.
I won't lie, we genuinely appreciate that.
Yeah,
we genuinely do. Okay, and one of the last few questions I want to ask you is, right now, like, most of the time, where do you spend most of your time now? Like, are you a barcode most of the time?
Yeah, so barcode, my working schedule, barcode. So weekdays, I'm there mostly during the day.
Yeah.
So chances are you probably won't see me, because you guys are probably still sleeping from your hang, because you hung over at something.
Oh, wow.
No, yeah, no, so no. I'm there mostly during the day.
Yeah.
And then weekends, I come in at night. So my partners, they are there during the week, or during the day on the weekend. Come in at night. But if not a barcode, I'm gigging.
Yeah.
I'm always gigging. If I'm not gigging, I'm at home, man. Like, yeah, I'm a homebody, bro. Like, if I have no business on the streets, I'm in my house. I'm in my house. I'm chilling, you know.
Yeah. One thing I've also realized since I've kind of stepped into this entertainment scene is that, like, the more I'm in it, the less I want to do with it. Like, I don't know how to explain this. Like,
yeah, no,
because I work at like a club or something.
Yeah. Whenever
I don't want to club.
Yeah. It's like that. Yeah. Like,
so is it something like that? For
you? Yeah. Like, I've no.
You've been at it since
I have no business
school.
Being in the club or being. That's something like, it's, if I'm not getting a bag or if I'm not at barcode, I'm literally in my house. In my house, just chilling, watching TV, catching up, whatever it is I do. Yeah, but I don't really go out and do a lot of things because I'm an introvert. Yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but I'm actually an introvert.
You're introvert.
Yeah, so I don't. You won't catch me in the public unless I'm working or something.
Man, this has been a really dope chat. Few last words from you that we'd like to hear is, like, what's in the future? What are you about to get up to now?
What's in the future?
Yeah.
Just more businesses and
more businesses.
Monopolizing Pretoria.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But man, it's not open. Just dope stuff. Do dope stuff, man. Just doing things I've always wanted to do. So. Yeah, but definitely the next 5 years is just to get more venues out there and, you know, open more clubs or restaurants that are student oriented. Yeah. So, you know, that's really what my next 5-year plan is for now. I'm not to tell you because it's going to happen anyway. But that's the plan for the next 5 years. So,
That's beautiful, bro. Onwards and upwards. Bro.
Thank you so much for this convo.
And yeah, man. It's been BTBC. That was Banks, and we out. Peace.